In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us unite our hearts in opening thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning you have granted unto us again an opportunity to come and to gather around your holy and undying word. And as we come before you, Father, we ask that you would open your word, that we might hear that word, and that we might be fed by your word, Father, for the strengthening and upbuilding of our begun life of faith. That one day faith might change to seeing, and that we would be there eternally in heaven with you, your Son, and those saints whom even yet this morning we remember in love and also with longing in our heart that one day we could be with them. And so in our prayer this morning, we join into the words which a songwriter has written, those words which you gave unto them to write, but fit also with such a beautiful and glorious day as we experience today. These words, the gracious sun, with pure light shining, to a new day has given birth, and wakened with its radiant beaming, all things to life anew on earth. Creator, mighty, gracious still, thou didst in grace the night dispel. O Jesus, grant in wondrous mercy the Spirit's light to dawn on me. May with thy word so pure and holy my darkened mind o'ertaken be. Have mercy on me, Lord, I pray, and keep me on thy blessed way. And also joining into that perfect prayer which your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. This morning, for our study, I will read God's Word, which is found in the book of Psalms, the 78th Psalm, the first 8 verses, and the words are in Jesus' name as follows. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and he might not be as their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Amen. In the beginning, I would wish to bring to you, beloved brothers and sisters in living faith here in Kokaido, those greetings of love and God's peace from my home congregation there in Rockford. We remember each other. It seems like the miles aren't so far apart, but in the busyness of life, it seems that it's oftentimes too many days between when we get to see each other and visit each other. And to speak of the way and the journey, that way that leads to eternal life in heaven, for we know we cannot make it to heaven of our own power, our own understanding, our own strength. But we need our precious escorts in living faith to help us. And how do they help? It is in that simple way of preaching the gospel of forgiveness of sins one to another in Jesus' name and blood. In this way, our sins are washed away and they're drowned in the sea of grace. And that gospel gives us strength to continue to battle the threefold enemy and to even battle against those trials in life that we may be dealing with at the time in the moment. As children of God, we carry one another in prayer and we carry one another in love, knowing that we ourselves are weak and corrupt vessels, so often needing this care and this love of God's children. God hears our prayers and He promises to be with us. And when God is with us, who can be against us? For He is more powerful and He can help us overcome those trials and difficulties that we have in our life. And I would say of these trials and difficulties too, how these are blessings in our life. And I would speak from my own personal experience that I would ask you this morning, how do you think it would be if you had no trials or difficulties in your life? Would we soon become sleepy and weary in our faith and follow the temptations of this world and begin to think that we were strong and could battle against the threefold enemy? But trials, at least for me, have drawn me closer to the center of God's flock, realizing how much I need God's care to preserve faith and good conscience. And this psalm which we have read this morning, which is one of the psalms or texts set aside for this Sunday, it's a psalm that was written by Asaph, who was one of the songwriters there for King David. And this particular psalm is called a Masechil, which is a psalm of teaching. It is one that God has given for us, a song and hymn of the Old Testament time, but a song and hymn of our time today, a psalm of teaching, a psalm of encouraging one to travel as a child of God and to do the will of God, to do God's work. And it begins with these words of instruction: give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. When we think of these opening words that give ear, O my people, it reminds us of that last book in the Bible in Revelations, when John wrote those words which God revealed unto him through the Holy Spirit, that gave instruction, and at the end of that instruction said that he who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. In other words, that we would pray that God would give us an ear to hear. In other words, to have our ears opened by God and a heart that would receive that word and believe that word and live of that word. So we can think of that in two ways. We can think of one who is a child of God, one who is endeavoring to put away sin in their life, to believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood. And there are many here gathered this morning in this Cokato congregation who through the grace of God and His love have believed in this way from childhood. But there are also others who have come the way of the prodigal son, whom had left living faith. For we know everyone born into this world has this gift of living faith. But when sin isn't cared for, the heart becomes hardened and one leaves God's kingdom. But God also can open the ears of one who has left from living faith. And it even could be that there would be such a one here this morning, listening here in the pews, or there could be one who is listening through the internet, who is seeking and searching for God's kingdom in this world. But one thing we know, that unless God opens the ears, one cannot hear God's word. So our opening prayer even would be in this way, that God would open our ears to hear through the Spirit, not just the words that are coming, but the living word that is revealed through God's Spirit. And I think of sometimes the visits I have had with someone who has received the grace of repentance, who has talked about it in this way, that they said they came to services before they received the grace of repentance, and they heard the sermon, but they only heard it with their temporal ears. It wasn't until it was God's time and God's will when they received the grace of repentance. They were able to believe their sins forgiven. They have marveled afterwards. I know in particular of one brother who said it this way, that after I received the grace of repentance and I came to the services of God's children, it struck me that every sermon that they came to, they heard, "Believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood." They had thought that perhaps the sermons before had not contained that loving instruction from the Heavenly Father. But those previous sermons had. And they do, and they always will contain that message of the gospel. For this is what we long to hear. But this is the miracle in this way of God's love and grace. It is not man's will. It is not man's work, but it is God's work and God's will. When our ears are open and we hear this living word and we believe of that living word and we have the living hope of eternal life in heaven. And so here in this psalm, the psalm writer begins that, give ear, O my people, to my law, or to my teachings. And these are not the teachings of the psalm writer. Just as the words in Scripture are not the words of men, but they are the Word of God, which was revealed through the Holy Spirit. And it is that same Word that is understood today through the Holy Spirit. And so we need again and again, at least for my own part, that encouragement to continue to listen to God's Word and to believe of God's Word and to gather around God's Word in our life so that we might attain eternal life in heaven. And to listen then what God has to say to us. And so it is it not, brothers and sisters, when we come to services, even our regular Sunday morning services. I know last weekend you had your fall services and special services here, and how God is able to, so many times He's able to soften the soil of our hearts when we gather around His Word for many days. And those are treasured services in our memories, and they give strength. But also God has prepared these Sunday morning services, which we have again this weekend. And why is it? It is because we often need to hear that Word of God. When I perhaps ask you this question, that how has it gone this past week for you since your fall services? Is there one here who could raise their hand and say it has been a successful journey? That those services were so uplifting that I did not fall again into sin? I don't think any of you are different from me, but it seems so often that we become forgetful hearers of that Word. We think back of the discussions and the sermons even only a weekend ago and a week ago, and do we remember those sermons? What were the texts? What was that discussion about? How have we lived this past week? Have we lived according to that Word? And we find how the enemy is around us as a roaring lion. And even this morning we would again have to confess that we have been faulty travelers. We have needed many times, perhaps, during the week, to turn to our believing spouse, our family, our friends, and ask for the gospel. So it is in our life. And so the teaching here in this psalm is to speak about God's Word all the time, as often as we have that opportunity. I know the things of this world, I'm sure your life again is no different than mine, it seems, with all the technology and everything. The amount of information, it seems like it's always just bombarding us and would give us plenty of things to talk about that are of this world. But how about matters of living faith? This portion of God's Word is instruction for mothers and fathers to teach your children. Mothers and fathers, teach your children. How do you do that work? I would venture to say that also, like you and your family are no different than our family and myself, that when we think about the matter of teaching God's Word in our home, we many times hear the enemy's sermon that what would you teach, and you know so little of the Scriptures. But is that true? It is, I think, good in this way that we are empty vessels. It would be a dangerous matter, I think, if we began our visits with our family members in this kind of thought that now we know something, that we have this enlightenment and we know the scriptures and now we're going to teach our children from this perspective. I don't think that works very well. But how does it work in God's kingdom? Does it not work in this way that we come just as that widow with the empty vessel? We don't know much, do we? And surely we don't know how to approach this situation or this visit in our home. But we pray that God would open His Word and He would fill our mouth. That it would be God's love and God's grace and God's Word which is spoken of in our home. And when the work happens in this way, how is it that we leave from there? We are so uplifted. We have all been fed. We have all needed the gospel. We have shared one another's burdens. We have restored again that hope of eternal life in heaven. And this is the reason then that the congregation wants to support the work of the believing home. The work begins in the home with mothers and fathers and the children, the brothers and sisters there in the home. But the congregation wants to support that work, to help the parents. God provides in many, many ways with many, many gifts. We can just look around in our congregation and see the gifts that God has given to us. Well, sure, we can see those temporal gifts, ones who perhaps are carpenters and ones who are electricians or plumbers or office workers or medical workers or whatever. We see those temporal gifts, but more so to a child of God, do we not see spiritual gifts? We don't see them in ourselves, but we see them in our neighbors. There are those that have those kind of gifts from the Heavenly Father to care for different kinds of situations. And we know there are many different kinds of situations that come up. It's a battling flock, and there have been times where we've had to battle against the spirits of leniency. We've had to battle against those temptations of the flesh. We've had to battle against self-righteousness. All of these different battles that come because the enemy wants to break this love that is here in God's kingdom. And there are gifts of the Spirit, as the Scriptures speak, who in these different times are able to speak God's Word in such a way that God's kingdom is preserved. These gifts are not with any one person, but they go from generation to generation. Just as we can see in the example of Moses and Aaron when they were given that duty to lead the children of God out of Egypt and on that wilderness journey. It was not only a journey of temporal struggle, but also a journey of spiritual battles that took place there. And so it's important to do this teaching and important that we have this kind of support in God's kingdom. And so we see an example of that here this morning in the Sunday school. In the Sunday school is the support for the teaching in the home. And I'm sure the Sunday school teachers would say, as I often remember when I was teaching fifth grade here in Cokato years and years ago now, but it was so often we go as the teachers to those Sunday school lessons feeling unprepared, feeling like, do we understand even this lesson we are about to teach. But one of my special joys was that God gave me that gift to teach in the fifth grade, and how much I enjoyed those students. Some of you now I see are older and have your own families here and are carrying on the work in God's kingdom here in Cokato. But I remember of those Sunday school lessons so often how the children taught me. The children simply confessed their faith. And it was remarkable to see how God had taught them and how oftentimes it was consistent with what I had learned as a child in my own home and from my own Sunday school teachers. And in this way, we see that it's not any different from generation to generation to generation. Now I've been able to experience in my life three different generations. One as a child, and one as a middle-aged in that duty of teaching, and now as a grandfather, seeing again in my grandchildren that the work is the same. It's the same spirit, the same instruction, the same message. Son and daughter, to be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. And God does his teaching in many ways. He does not hide from the children, as the psalm writer has written, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. And so what do we speak of? We speak of what we have seen and heard, how God has protected and guided us in our life to this moment. Does not make us any better believer, but simply keeps us in that lowly, humble place of a child of God. And isn't it a good place to be in God's kingdom as a little child, living of the milk of God's word and the grace crumbs that fall from the Master's table? And we don't want to hide that from our children. We don't want them to think that Mom or Dad or Grandpa or Grandpa were Grandma were so strong in their faith that they did not need this gospel. But we know different, don't we? And the children certainly know different. They see in the home that mother and father are faulty travelers as well, and how often we need to ask them for the gospel in our life. And it doesn't get any easier when you're a grandpa. I'll let Grandma speak for herself, but for Grandpa here, I will speak that I still find myself a faulty traveler, so many times impatient, and so many times needing to learn over and over again the good message of God's kingdom that I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I need to have the gospel in my life. I need my sins forgiven. And this is what I journey off, is that gospel, and not my years, not my experiences in life, but each day, as we heard in that, read in that song, is a new day of grace. And so God established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God. And so this is the reason for that teaching. There in the home, there in our Sunday school, in our Bible class lessons, in our youth work, in our camps. I know perhaps many of the fathers and their sons are gone this weekend to be there at the camp, and certainly it's an enjoyable time for fathers and sons to be gathered together. But it is also much teaching and instruction given there. For we need that teaching and instruction. So we get it in many ways and through many gifts. And then the psalm writer clearly makes it known the reason for this teaching, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. We want to set our hope in God, dear brothers and sisters. Where else would we put our hope? Can you think of one other place where we would want to put our hope other than to put our hope in God? This is where we want to have our hope in God, because He is our Creator. He has brought us into this world. He has given us the very days, hours, minutes, and seconds of our life. He knows that appointed time when we will be called from this life. And He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be prepared, just as it was for those children who departed from Egypt on that wilderness journey. There was specific instructions given to them of that last night and how they should have the doorposts of their home sprinkled with the blood of the innocent lamb. That same instruction is here for us today, that we would have the doorposts of our heart sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb. That we would be a child of God, that our sins would be washed away and drowned in the sea of grace through the gospel of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood. In this way, Jesus knows us. In this way, when we are called from this life on that, and that judgment day comes when we stand before Jesus, He will know us because He has washed away our sins with His blood. This is where we want to place our hope, that when that time comes, which it will for each and every one of us, young and old alike, we will stand before Jesus. And our hope, our prayer, is that He will know us. We want to hear those words, "Come ye blessed of my Father." We want to go to that place which Jesus has prepared for us there in heaven. We can leave behind this temporal portion, these battles that we have and these trials that we have in life. Will all be left behind. As the scripture says, there will be no more weeping, no more tears, no more sorrows. Only those songs and hymns of joy and gladness, thanking God and praising Him for all that He has done in our life. And even there, these questions in our life will be answered, that we will be able to see and understand how they were given for the reason that we would attain eternal life in heaven. And so it is, then, this psalm that we have read this morning is a psalm of teaching, a psalm of encouragement, exhortation to each and every one of us not to put away our faith. As the last verse says, that might and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So our hope is to remain in living faith and not as it was for those on that wilderness journey who turned away from God. As much as they saw what God had done for them in their life and how He fed them and how He gave them drink and cared for all things there in that wilderness journey, Yet they did not set their heart aright, as the psalm writer says, and their spirit was not steadfast with God. So we see this battle with faith and unbelief. This is the battle that we fight. And this is the word of teaching and encouragement in this word of God this morning, dear brothers and sisters, that as you find yourself, you can uplift your heart even now and believe, all your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood. Your sins are forgiven, and you can cling to this faith which you have been granted by and through the grace and love of God. And He will help you. He will instruct you. He will teach so that generation to generation this work can continue. And all those whom God has chosen will be called there into the eternal shores in heaven. The work of God is not yet done, and may we be given strength, dear brothers and sisters, to do the will of God and to do His work, which is to preach the gospel one to another, that all can believe, and there would be no doubt. So even now, if there would be doubt, believe these doubts and all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And I also live of this same gospel and need to hear that same gospel this morning, that can you, brothers and sisters, forgive me for all my sins and many failings on this journey? Now I want to believe with you, dear brothers and sisters. Heaven is a beautiful place which we cannot imagine. We see the beauty and the majesty that God has created this morning. The beautiful colors in the trees and the freshness in the air and all these things which God has done. And yet the beauty of this day, this morning, pales in comparison to that heaven that awaits for those who endeavor to keep faith and good conscience, to live of this gospel, and to simply believe. May we all see one another there in heaven one day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite our hearts in the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.